iPhone and the landline is active. So I'm going to go mute. Let's see if you can hear me. Can you hear me now?
We just went live.
We don't have phone service.
All right, so what we'll do is...
Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And welcome everyone to this episode of Blog Talk Radio. Manufacturing Talk Radio. Welcome to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. And shortly, Lou Weiss will be joining us when he gets in the studio. We have with us today Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair for the Institute of Supply Management's non-manufacturing report on business. This is a great report that Anthony has compiled from respondents to the survey that they put out. And we're kind of excited, Anthony, to see what you've got to say about the details that we go into here. And the only place that goes into these kind of details out in the universe. Anthony, welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thank you, Tim, for having me on the show.
And I think I'm here.
It sounds like Lou's here.
Yeah, and if you unpause me, I could even see Tim.
Yeah, you're moving on my end, but I don't know what you see on your end. Anthony, your number at 58.1 is, on the high side of the range. It looks excellent this month.
It's the highest reading we've had since February of 2019.
Wow. Really, wow, amazing. That's incredible.
Amazing number.
Well, we do have to keep in mind that the we're measuring the rate of growth month over month. So we're not quite at pre-pandemic levels, but certainly we've seen this growth for the second consecutive month after being so far down especially in April and May.
Right. So I'm always curious, Anthony, and I know you're going to go into many of the sectors and an overview of the report. How's retail doing?
Well, when you look at the listing of all the different industries and where they sit, so and I'll pull that information up for you right now, because in the composite index, we have retail as number 3 out of the 15 indexes that show growth month over month. And if you look at business activity, it's number 2. So retail has come back strong. New orders, it's number 1. So, again, we're not quite at pre-pandemic levels, but certainly this is an encouraging sign to see this growth, taking into consideration that we had those 4 states that had pulled back and implemented further restrictions based on the rise in COVID cases. At the tail end of June, we were being hit with the civil unrest and the protests for social injustice. So these all were potential roadblocks that could stymie the recovery of the economy and the growth for the services sector, which leads me to mention for the listeners that we have now changed the composite index from the NMI, which it stood for non-manufacturing, and now to PMI, which is similar to what we had seen for the manufacturing side. So it's now referred to as the services PMI.
Good to know. We'll get that word out there as well. So give us a summary of the report as you have it before you for our listeners.
Will do. So we, as you mentioned, Tim, we had the index, composite index, 58.1, which is comprised equally of these 4 indexes: business activity, new orders, employment, and supplier deliveries, all at 25%. That is a 1-point increase month over month. And as I mentioned, keeping in mind that we're measuring that rate of growth And specifically, we saw June go up with a strong increase, as well as now July. Business activity at 67.2. That's up 1.2 percentage points month over month. And we had a nice increase for new orders at 67.7, which is up 6.1 percentage points. And the one index of the four that's really dragging is the employment, 42.1. It's down 1 percentage point from the 43.1 in June. And we have to keep in mind that I think we've discussed this in the past, where as businesses are reopening, they're not at 100% capacity. They may
right.
be at 40%. They may be at 50%. Who knows? It varies by company and by industry. But the payroll expense, the labor resources are all variable expenses that correlate directly to the level and volume of business. And so with business not coming back 100%, we're not seeing 100% of the workers come back. And in this sector, which is labor intensive, that's why we have the employment index where it is at 42.1. Supplier deliveries continue to slow. Granted, not as slow a rate, or not slowing as fast as it was in June, down to 55.2. It was 57.5 in the prior month. So overall, when you look at this sector, it's definitely on the path to recovery as businesses reopen. Many of our respondents were indicating that in comments last month as well as this month, that businesses were strategizing on how to reopen and how to implement the reopening, and that seems to be the case this month. What does that pan out for in the future? Time will tell, but I think that unless we have some other catastrophic event or something else that could derail this economic recovery, we'll continue to see this incremental growth. It might not be at the strong rate that we've experienced the last 2 months, as we see the diminishing returns based on capacity and whatnot.
Nonetheless, we'll take it. Lou, are you connected with us on the show here?
Yeah, I am. I am.
Oh, good.
I'd like to just touch on the COVID for a moment with the economic package that they're flipping in the wind these last couple of days. How do you feel that's going to wind up affecting consumer confidence, which would affect the services report in the future?
Well, that's a great question. And I'll tell you that one of the things, and it goes back to what I was mentioning earlier, that we had those four states, we had California, Arizona, Texas, and Florida had a spike in COVID cases, and they pulled back on reopening certain businesses. They closed down many facets of the accommodation and food services industry, as well as hair salons, beauty parlors, anything where we would have close contact proximity with the service providers or congregation of people. And even with the protocols in place, certain individuals or government municipalities were saying how that the spike was derived directly from those businesses reopening based on their tracing. I don't know how valid that is, but in any event, it's what happened. And those states represented, about 30% of the total population. And I felt that would put a damper on the numbers coming out in July, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And we see it evident in many things, whether it be, as we talked about earlier with the retail coming back strong, whether it be online distribution or actual foot traffic in stores or whatever it might be, but that activity has increased. We've seen it with just the amount of traffic that we see on the road today versus back to when the pandemic first hit. And we had those business closures. You could zip along on the highway and hardly encounter any traffic, whereas now it seems like the traffic is getting close to where it was pre-pandemic levels. So these are just some examples of what is evident as far as activity out there and businesses reopening. And so, therefore, Back to the original question of the COVID cases, yes, we've had a spike in the number of cases. We've also had a much more testing, not to diminish the impact or the severity of COVID, but I think that as businesses are really striving to reopen and hoping for the best, that will bode well for the total economic picture.
But the hospitality industry, as you are well informed on, has really taken a major hit. And I believe it was yesterday that Disney came out with their last quarter results, and they took a $5 billion hit in 3 months. So they're not coming back any too quickly, for sure.
No, but keep in mind, it is a big business, and it represents a lot. But in the grand scheme of things, we're talking around 3% contribution to GDP relative to the various industries, the 18 industries that comprise the services sector. So, it represents a lot of employment. Don't get me wrong. 3% doesn't seem like it's a lot, but it is. But relative to the total picture, that's why our numbers are what our numbers are. And accommodation and food service has finished in the bottom rung as it relates to activity and everything else for this sector. And it's affected millions of people. But again, I always say this is a very diverse group of industries that comprise this sector. And in totality, the picture is more positive than bleak at this juncture.
We spoke to Tim Fiore, the chair of the manufacturing report, the other day, and also those numbers are looking pretty good, considering where we've been. And we had asked the question about the futures in terms of next month, September. What do you think the story is for the future, near future?
Well, I think that what we're going to see is continued growth, provided we don't have any pullback because of a substantial increase in COVID cases. But I think we're going to still see some growth going forward. It won't be as strong a level because it's just going to wane a bit as because it's the initial coming out of the bottom the way we were. So it's more about, you know, finishing the last half of the race versus the first half of the race. And came out with a very strong burst of speed. And so I think we'll still see continued growth. We won't get that full pre-pandemic levels until sometime in 2021 when either the COVID wanes completely out of the picture from whether it be from a vaccine or just a reduction in cases based on not having the exposure. But either way, it's just going to be not as fast a recovery to get to those pre-pandemic levels, because we were really operating at a very strong rate of growth for quite some time. The economy was on the fast track. All the concerns were that it wouldn't overheat. And yet, and then we also said that provided there wasn't anything catastrophic that happened or geopolitical or terrorist activity, and then we got hit with the pandemic, and that took the train right off the rails.
Anthony, if you could, I think that we're having some audio issues. If you don't mind, speak a little bit louder. We want to make sure that our audience hears all of your words of wisdom.
Certainly. How about you, Tim? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Yeah,
because
our engineer is sending some messages about volume and so on. By the way, just as a point, we did just see coming in over the wire that it looks like this four or five Republicans who are turning in favor of the $600 package through the end of 2020. So for those who are out there listening to us, there may be some good news coming for you in shortly.
Oh, that would be great. We definitely need the stimulus to keep things going. It's interesting that it's been a mixed bag as far as a perspective on the stimulus and unemployment, and our respondents for the most part have indicated that there's some uncertainty surrounding it, and not to politicize it, but there were some comments from our respondents referencing the fact that it was hard to recruit certain people or certain jobs or fill certain jobs because of the stimulus package providing the ability for people to stay home and not go back to work. So there is some truth to people saying, or I think it was the Secretary of Treasury, Mr. Mnuchin, had said that he didn't want to decentivize people from going back to work. And it was interesting that there were a few comments from our respondents directly along those lines.
Right.
Yeah, so, clearly the PPE is generating for people $30,000 a year in income at $600 a week.
Yeah.
What are the rest of the respondents saying, Anthony? How are they feeling about, you know, as we look like we're exiting the greatest difficulty of COVID and getting the economy restarted? What are they commenting on?
Well, interesting that I'll read something from the utilities industry. Orders and business activity are back to pre-pandemic levels. Previously stalled projects are starting back up. This next one came from retail trade. Retail sales have continued to increase month over month, likely due to the general reopening of the economy. Mask mandates have been put in place for almost every market we operate in, causing an increased need for supply of masks for employees and customers. I'll read one from Professional Scientific and Technical Services. Some business picking up, but mostly virtual meetings, training, and consulting. Time will tell if it's profitable. The economic situation is quite dire regionally, so there is no telling if this is a trend or just a short respite. Any business at this point is much appreciated. So it's kind of been that kind of, it's been that mixed bag based on, I would say, predominantly people are positive and optimistic about business. However, as we've been speaking this morning, there are certain industries that are impacted more so than others, and specifically some of the consumer services, personal care side, hair salons, and most notably accommodation and food services.
And you had mentioned that new orders surprised you a bit. It bumped up significantly, and you know, business activity and new orders are in the 67 range. Obviously, we don't expect that to be sustainable, but it would have to fall a long ways before it was going into retraction. So this is a great read of month-over-month improvement, Anthony.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we call that either the upper stratosphere or, as I like to note it as, for especially on this call, I call it the yellow jacket zone.
Yeah, you've done so well that it points towards the yellow jacket.
So I'm thinking that, you know, if we can, you know, stay in this 60-plus, you know, stratosphere, yellow jacket zone for the balance of the year, that would be amazing, right?
Yeah.
And I've already told Tim Fiore that he did get a couple of extra points for his good numbers of the other day in manufacturing. So he, too, got extra points, and you will be so honored as well.
I appreciate that. But as you've given me the benchmark on the number of episodes for participation, I think he's got a little bit ways to go there.
Well, we may have to modify our methodology to take into account the overall good work that all of you folks do over at IDEX.
Well, we appreciate being part of your show.
And we do the same.
Yeah, it's been terrific, Anthony. In the overall, this report being good, are there any headwinds that you see in this? Are there, you know, COVID bearing its ugly head in a worse way?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you there.
Why is Tim spoiling this by looking for headwinds?
Well, you know, Tim is always pragmatic. He always tries to bring us back on point, Lou. You know how that is. That's
yeah.
His job.
I know him 25 years.
And the headwinds, potential headwinds are, do we have a substantial spike in COVID cases? Do we have something else come up? You know, we just had this explosion in Lebanon. What are the ramifications from that? Is it terrorist activity? Is it, who knows? And so, you know, anything geopolitical, the global economy, as much as it's separate, is intertwined with our domestic economy. So these are some of the things we have to be aware of and ensure that it doesn't derail the recovery.
Clearly. And exports this month are a bit softer than last month. With all of this difficulty going on with China, and we'll call it the recent unpleasantness, as they still call the civil war here in the South, what is the likelihood of exports improving as we move forward? And, you know, who knows if we'll ever implement the agreement with China on trade?
You know, that's a great question. I think that what's exported from this sector is substantially less than what is tracked on the manufacturing side. And in this sector, it's mostly in the arena of the knowledge management, whether it be information, professional technical services, management of companies, along those lines. And with the global impact of this pandemic, it's definitely put a stifling, it's stifled the aspect of export orders and whatnot. And, you know, which segues into imports, same thing. And we talked about this last month briefly, but the trade war, it's not even in the headlines anymore.
Right.
Everyone's focused on so many other things, and it doesn't mean it's gone away. There's certainly been some alternate supply routes that have been developed, but there's still a lot of the PPE coming out of China still. So it's not like it's just been cut off completely. I think that this has certainly been an eye-opening experience, and that companies are focused more on not being so reliant, so heavily reliant on China, and moving some sources of supply to other Asian countries. So we'll have to see how this all pans out in the long term, and what it does to the relationship as it relates to just trade alone, not counting the political ramifications of what's gone on with China.
Well, I know that the Institute for Supply Management has its finger on the pulse of the supply chain. That's what you folks do. And there's a lot of talk about moving your supply chain partners closer to the U.S., if not in the U.S. Is it as big a deal in terms of businesses restructuring their supply chain as we hear and think it may be, or is it, you know, a lot of noise about nothing?
Well, you know, it's a great question, and I think that as other sources of supply have been developed, once these companies move in that direction and switch, it's going back is not going to be an easy proposition. So it's I think that once they move, they move. And
right.
Whether it's going to be brought in domestically versus moving to other offshore areas, I think we'll see more offshore development, supply route development versus the infrastructure just doesn't exist as it did back in the, you know, pre-80s and 70s when a lot of the manufacturing was outsourced or offshored. So time will tell again how that really impacts the economy.
Yes, no doubt. So give us kind of your overall read on this report and, you know, maybe next month's report for the services sector, if you would, Anthony.
Okay, great. So we saw that looking back, we had a really hit bottom back in April, May, coupled with the pandemic was the civil unrest that we saw in June, but yet the numbers still continued to reflect growth as businesses reopened, and they were strategizing how to further reopen in various companies and industries. And that number, those numbers carried over into July. So we've had this strong growth rate for both June and July. Going forward, we will see continued growth based on some of the leading indexes like new orders, which reflected a high number of 67.7. I don't foresee us staying at such a high rate of growth going forward because it's just a matter of you can only grow so fast and for so long, and that we'll still see growth, and provided we don't have anything that would sidetrack or affect the economy in a way based on it being something catastrophic or geopolitical. And hopefully we'll continue on this path of recovery going forward through the balance of the year.
Sounds good, and that's certainly what we'd like to see. And Anthony, once again, thank you for joining us. We appreciate working with the Institute for Supply Management. You can find their website, by the way, and all of their reports at their new website called ismworld.org. And you'll find Anthony's report there as well as Tim Fiore's. Anthony, again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. Have a great day, gentlemen.
Thanks for being
we
here.
We will. And we've been speaking with Anthony Nieves, who is the committee chair for the services PMI, formerly the non-manufacturing index. It is now called the Services Purchasing Managers Index for the ISM Report on Business. Again, their website is ismworld.org. So, Lou, it looks very good at the moment.
Yeah, it does. And I did mention this with Tim Fiore the other day when we spoke to him about manufacturing, that All Metals and Forge Group, the sponsor of this show, has seen a significant uptick in our manufacturing new orders just very recently, within the last couple of weeks. So it's seemingly going in the same direction as the two ISM reports, and I think that's really terrific news. I got tired of standing out on the window ledge of the third floor.
That's right, or you'd only hurt yourself on impact.
That's right, instead of killing myself. But things have picked up significantly, and I'm usually one of the last ones to be excited about good numbers because I don't always believe the good numbers. I tend to believe the So it looks all well and good, and I'm looking forward to seeing August, even though August is the biggest vacation month of the year. But then again, where are you going and who are you going to see in, you know, with COVID and everything? So vacation time is not really booming, except for the RV industry. Their sales are booming.
Yeah, that they are.
Even though I just read a very interesting article about how not easy it is to travel with an RV. It takes a lot of work and effort, and I'm not sure where you see all the joy in traveling across deserts and breaking down and overheating gas. And, you know, your battery is shot because your kids were playing Nintendo too much, and so on and so forth. So that being said, all in all, these two reports have really been terrific, and we will look to continue the forward upward movement.
No doubt, and we would encourage all of our listeners to visit us at mfgtalkradio.com. Where you find the show, you'll also find a link to the report itself from the ISM. You can also find all of our shows at jacketmediaco.com, where we have this Manufacturing Talk radio podcast, along with the WAM podcast, Women in Manufacturing, Hazard Girls, which talks about women and unusual roles in the industry, Where's Willie, with William Miller traveling around to production sites and reporting what's actually happening on production floors, Cliff Waldman, who talks about manufacturing matters and the economy, which is an excellent show, and we encourage you to listen to that, and Full Time with Amy, which is the balancing act that women face between work and home and children and all that they have on their plate. And as always, thank you for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.